everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I'm Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how's it going?
I am right now actually wishing I was in Australia because it's the start of winter down there and it's too damn hot here.
It's only June, Matt.
I know, and it's only 96 degrees today.
It's going to be worse.
I know. I have to work outdoors for all of August.
So
I want to go to Australia.
You can come to me, to Canada. It's cooler.
It's still pretty warm in Canada.
It's not. Matt, I was in Canada the other day. It was in the 40s. Fahrenheit, at least.
What?
Yeah, I know.
I was going to say Fahrenheit or Celsius. I don't want
to
be there.
No, I'm going to have to get used to that. Speaking of Canada, we are joined today by a longtime patron supporter of the show, Holly Eleanor. Holly, how are you?
I'm great, thanks.
Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Willkommen.
Willkommen.
There you go. I knew Matt was going to chime in on the German. Let's see. We are brought to you by supporters on Patreon, patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow. For $2 a month, you can see all of our bonus content, including, this season's over, so I don't know what quite we're doing for new episode reviews. We're going to do something with that, but bonus monthly episodes, bad drawings, weekly articles by me, there's stuff. Please, yeah, we really love all of our patrons. Please check that out. Also, you can go to iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play Music. Give us a 5-star review, subscribe. All those cool things helps us out immensely. This week's episode is Bart vs. Australia, episode 2F13, originally aired February 19th, 1995. Written by Bill Oakley and Josh Weinstein, directed by Wes Archer. Finished 56th in the ratings, a Nielsen rating of 9.1, fourth highest rated show on Fox that week. Fourth. It's I don't know.
It's not going to get much higher as we go. So
It comes back around. You look at The Simpsons now, it is routinely the number one highest rated show on Fox.
Well, that says more about what's left on Fox than The Simpsons itself.
That's I guess that's fair. The chalkboard gag. I will not hang donuts on my person. I actually honestly agree with that. Donuts are for eating.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I could make so many coarse comments right now, but no, I'm going to restrain
this
myself.
We're PG, Matt. This is a PG show.
Uh-huh.
The couch gag is it's like underwater and they swim to the couch.
It's a classic.
Yeah, it's not bad. Episode guest stars, Phil Hartman as Evan Conover, correct? That's Conover, not Conover. Conover. He says Conover, right? Am I making that up?
Yes, he says Conover.
Before we get in this episode, Holly, I gave you a choice of episodes and you chose this one. Any particular reason?
Well, it's an episode that I find particularly funny. That's my favorite part of The Simpsons, is the laughs. And there was a time when I was in 10th grade that our teacher actually, there was two episodes that he would give you a bonus mark if you could record that episode of The Simpsons for him. And it was this one, as well as much a poo about something. No, nothing. Nothing, sorry. And I managed to get this one recorded. Now, his reason for that was to be able to demonstrate the Coriolis effect to the class. So, in hindsight, that's rather amusing.
Are you sure he just wasn't a tape trader and just wanted all that stuff?
That's entirely possible, or maybe just a big Simpsons fan.
I was going to say, because there's a lot of people on the old message boards who are like, hey, you got a tape of this one particular episode, and so there, people were mailing those things back and forth.
Well, in 1996, that was really your only go-to.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy how far we've come. No, you can just go like a 50 million different places and get all the Simpsons you possibly want. Let's see. Episode begins with a bathroom products race, which was toothpaste versus?
I want to say it was hair gel. It was green. It was very odd. I don't think they ever actually say what it was. It may have been on the containers.
But it's really just to, Lisa and Bart are racing and we just mentioned the Coriolis effect. Lisa wants to show Bart that that is what it is, and he does his best to try and disprove it.
First
of all, Coriolis effect does not affect small bathroom drains or toilets.
Unfortunately.
It doesn't matter. It's that it is much too small, an air, small body of water to it won't do anything. It all
depends. That's true. It's mostly on hurricane scale.
Yes, so that get that out of the way, but we can generally ignore that because this episode is not too heavy on the realism. And that will probably be coming back to that, but it is one of the craziest episodes of the classic era, I would say. But Bart goes to great lengths to try and disprove it, is soundly rejected, and eventually comes around to, like, to Lisa having to explain why the Coriolis effect. I keep having to, like, jump over the fact that she's not actually explaining anything real, but Lisa explained to Bart first what the Coriolis effect is and what the Southern Hemisphere is.
Bart, water will only go the other way in the Southern Hemisphere.
What the hell is the Southern Hemisphere?
Haven't you ever looked at your globe? See, the Southern Hemisphere is made up of everything below the this line.
So down there in, say, Argentina or Rand McNally, all their water runs backwards?
Uh-huh. In fact, in Rand McNally, they wear hats on their feet and hamburgers eat people.
Cool.
That'd be a terrifying place to live. Giant hamburgers trying to eat you at all times. No thanks.
I don't know, man. Some excitement. Bart decides to actually... I mean, he is dead set on trying to prove that this Coriolis effect doesn't exist. So he starts calling up random places in the Southern Hemisphere using the international dialing page of his Yellow Pages. What he calls a dictator... who is,
South American dictator.
Yeah, it's a South American
dictator. Central American.
Either way, below the equator. His translator's not very good.
Well. So yeah, if it was below the equator, it'd have to be South American, if Bart actually did his geography correctly.
I assume he can read. Bart can read, right?
Well, probably.
And it's that complicated international dialing. He also calls Hitler in... What country?
Argentina.
This, you know, faked his death Hitler in hanging out in Argentina.
I call my cell phone a nuisance phone all the time.
I mean, you would think Hitler wouldn't even have a nuisance phone, especially in 1995. That's pretty, like, well, ahead of the time.
It was a car phone is what he calls it. So car phones were still a thing in the 95.
I never knew anyone with a car phone.
My mother had one.
Really.
Did she?
Like, it was portable. You could take it out of the car, but it was like a phone with a receiver that you had to pick up with a cord.
Wow. That's so cool.
Yeah. All that weird old cellular technology is now, like, cool again.
Collectible almost.
Yeah, it's strange. Where else does he call? Does he call anywhere else except for Australia?
There's a place with a lava. Right. I don't know where that's supposed to be.
Right. He calls an active volcano? I'm not sure where that's supposed to be. Also, someone online.
The South Pole.
Oh, right. That's right. The South Pole, and the water's frozen, of course.
Ah, yes.
Someone transcribed that first digit he calls, and it is 5756237426357632357462357736257625725.
That's gotta be in a different galaxy. There's no place on Earth that takes that many numbers to get to.
I'm just telling you, that's what he calls. Someone on the internet did the legwork, transcribed those.
Thank God for people with too much time on their hands.
I can't do that. That's pretty. That's transcribing.
That's amazing. That's like the old phone freakers from the 80s, like Kevin Mitnick and those people.
Oh no, Matt.
What?
Oh no, you would know information like that. He finally gets to call Australia and ask them.
This is the international operator. Will you accept a collect call from...
Yes. This is Dr. Bart Simpson of the International Drainage Commission. It's an emergency.
If it's an emergency, then...
We understand some drains in your area have been malfunctioning, sucking in people and whatnot.
Whittakers, that's awful.
Indeed. We need you to check your sinks and toilets and tell us which way the water is going, and please... Stand clear.
The fixtures, they're all draining clockwise, sir.
Oh, she was right, stupid Lisa Science Queen. Look, why don't you just check your neighbor's drains? I'll hold.
Oh,
Hey, Bart, the bakery caught fire and all downtown smells like cookies. Wanna go smell?
Yes. Yes, I do.
That sounds delicious, but also sad.
I know. That means the cookies will be gone.
Exactly. They'll be burnt.
Lisa had clued Bart in about the fact that these phone bills would be astronomically high, so he therefore had called collect, which you heard. He leaves the phone off the hook for the, I don't know, it's nighttime by the time he gets back to the phone. And the kid finally has returned. Did we ever get a name for that child?
I don't believe we do.
Tobias.
Is it Tobias?
Oh, that's right, because Bruno yells his name.
His father yells it at him later.
Yes, Tobias. Tobias, thank you, Holly.
Tobias and Bruno Drundridge. Quality Australian names. There.
Yes. Also, really quality Australian accents.
hey, at least no one was named Dundee or Foster.
Though they make enough fun of those guys later on. But we will get to the complaints from Australia at some point. The kid eventually returns. Bart is drinking milk in the middle of the night and is informed that, yes, the Coriolis effect is still taking place. However far away Tobias's neighbors are, it took him hours to get there and back.
On his little big wheel.
I know. It's very cute, actually. But Bart, I love that Bart answers, no, I don't care about that anymore. He's a 10-year-old boy, so that is entirely accurate. Yeah, he's like, oh, that took me 3 hours of my life. Now it's all gone away. Homer gets the phone bill. It is high, but he is not sure if he did it himself, and so he just ignores it and pays the bill so that his brain will give him some
endorphins.
Endorphins, that's the word. I wasn't going to say, I don't think they use the word oxytocin.
No oxytocin, no serotonin, no dopamine, just endorphins.
Well, it's Homer wouldn't know those words, you know.
I'm surprised he knows endorphins.
That's true. But Bart is receiving, let's see. Oh, wait, no, I got it backwards. Bart receives a phone call after Bruno Drundridge, these names, and he's upset. And this is a little long, but I could not pull the whole thing. So this is Australia calling Bart back.
$900 dues. Tobias, did you accept a 6-hour collect call from the States?
It was an emergency call from the International Drainage Commission in Springfield.
Oh, my God. There's nothing wrong with the bidet, is there?
Hello?
Right, I'm calling all the way from Squatters Crog, Australia, and I want to speak to Dr. Bat Simpson right now.
Hold, please.
All right, but I did...
Payroll, Bert Stanton speaking.
Oi, I said Bat Simpson. What kind of a company is this?
Bart Simpson's office?
Well, thank the great good Lord. Look, I was just...
One moment, please.
Who do they think I am? Some stupid Aussie drongo? Pleading Yanks. I order.
This is Bart Simpson. Can I help you, ma'am?
Yeah. Hey! My name is Bruno Drundridge, right? You owe me $900, mate.
No, you owe me $900.
You're just some punk kid, aren't you? You picked the wrong guy to tangle with here, mate.
I don't think so. You're all the way in Australia. Hey, I think I hear a dingo eating your baby.
Yeah, well, that's it. I'm gonna report this to me member of parliament. Hey, Gus! I got something to report to you!
Which, Gus is outside, I guess doing gardening work? Or is he...
I thought he was feeding pigs.
Feeding pigs, that's right. No, that's correct. But that is you hear right there, the first of many made-up things about Australia.
Well, to be fair, they do have members of parliament and a prime minister.
They do.
So
they get
the names right.
Squaggers. What was the name of that?
You guys... Squatters Crog. I think it's supposed to be Squatters Crag.
Squatters Crog?
You know, instead of an Australian accent.
Okay. Yeah. Sure.
I would also like to point out that no matter what he says, somebody in his home accepted a collect call, and therefore he is responsible for the bill no matter what.
Is that law, Matt?
That's U.S. law. I don't know how Australian law works, but... It's also down to the fact that a person who picked up the phone and accepted the collect call was not of legal age. So I think the phone company would probably have to eat that one no matter what.
Oh, Matt.
Also, I just have to point out that when he says payroll, Bert Stanton speaking, I have never been able to actually understand that until I read the subtitles and realized he says payroll. For some reason, when I was a kid, I always thought he said a-hole. Like he was calling the guy on the phone an a-hole.
Payroll, Bert Stanton. But poor Bruno Drundridge reports his dispute all the way to the Prime Minister. What is the Prime Minister in? Is it in a naked in an inner tube?
Yes, his name is Andy.
of course, Andy. But Bart starts receiving letters in the mail from the Hopping Mad Collection Agency.
Yeah, which, they really went well with the Australia.
They really did. But comedy. Frankly, I think that's why this episode works so well. Is that they just went whatever? We'll just make everything Australia. Who cares?
Yeah.
And make it wrong. Whatever. Don't let facts get in the way of funny. Bart gets all those letters. He ignores them because he is a 10-year-old child, and that is what you do when people send you things that are getting angry at you, at least. Until Lisa discovers them, and she recognizes the seriousness of them.
Office of the Solicitor General? Office of the Prime Minister? Hopping Mad Collection Agency? What is all this stuff?
Nothing. Some stupid country thinks I owe them money.
Uh-oh, Bart, you better talk to Mom and Dad about this.
Hey, guys, just so you don't hear any wild rumors, I'm being indicted for fraud in Australia.
There's no reason to block the TV.
Oh, my.
That is just the dry... hey, I'm being indicted for fraud in Australia. That's pretty good. But that is how we go to commercial. That's how the act ends.
And when we come back, we see Marge and Homer concerned, obviously, for Bart and what he did. But then we get to meet our good friend, Evan Conover, who basically explains the international political relations situation that Bart has stumbled into.
Unfortunately, Bart, your little escapade could not have come at a worse time. Americo-Australian relations are at an all-time low. As I'm sure you remember, in the late 1980s, the U.S. experienced a short-lived infatuation with Australian culture. For some bizarre reason, the Aussies thought this would be a permanent thing. Of course, it wasn't.
I know those words, but that sign makes no sense.
Anyway, the down-under fad fizzled, and the diplomatic climate turned absolutely frosty. Oops, let's pretend we didn't see that. And Bart's childish taunting agitated the Aussies further.
I was just going to point out that the words that Lisa couldn't make sense of were a Yahoo Serious Festival sign, because apparently Yahoo Serious was some sort of comedian from Australia, and the slide that he swallowed was a picture of Fidel Castro with a crosshairs on him. So I don't know why he bothered to do that, because I'm pretty sure that's been part of every slide deck the U.S. government produced from like 1958 all the way up through, when did he step down? That was what, 2004, 2005, somewhere in there?
I don't.
Robbie, any help?
I don't. What do you mean, Robbie, any help? Why I know?
I don't know. Anyway, so Evan Conover in the State Department, their first suggestion is to imprison Bart for 5 years.
Wait, Matt, which... wait, I have some important information here.
Okay.
Yahoo Serious was born July 27th, 1953. Born Greg Peed.
That's a real Australian name right there.
Australian film actor, director, and score composer, best known for 1988 comedy Young Einstein.
Oh, that movie was great.
That Holly, have you seen that movie?
No, I haven't.
Don't bother.
There's really no reason for anyone to see it. I just remember seeing it as a kid, and the humor at that point in my life was very funny. I'd probably watch it now and go, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life.
For those not who have not seen it, it is a movie that portrays Albert Einstein as a young farmer in Tasmania. He derives the formula for E equals MC² while trying to discover a means of creating beer bubbles, splitting the lager atom in the process.
Yeah, none of those
it's,
words.
It's craziness. It's just like Einstein, it's like alternate history insanity. But no, you can... It doesn't surprise me that Matt would say that he likes that movie.
Of course not.
But I just wanted to chime in some Yahoo Serious. He tried to sue Yahoo for trademark infringement. It failed.
Of course he did. I don't think they're at all in the same business. So anyway, of course, Marge says absolutely not to imprisoning Bart for 5 years. She says that they'll just have to find some other country to have relations with. Which I don't think is how that works, but okay.
I do want to say Marge, I think, is the only thing that holds this episode together. Like, keeps it from just running off completely, being, like, out of touch of reality and like, as a whole.
Yeah, that's the Marge Lisa function in this episode, is to keep it from being ridiculous in every possible way.
Like, she's like, hey, I know I love my son. You can't just put him in jail.
And I love it that they're like, oh, well, I guess we can't put him in jail. All he has to do is make an apology. Like, wouldn't that be what you led with? I mean, I know it's a good idea to put Bart in jail, but, you know, at this point, eh. But anyway, so basically the Simpsons take the free trip to Australia so Bart can make his public apology. And we get a great visual gag of them taking off and then panning through the earth where there are graves and then dinosaur graves and then Shiva at the center of the earth and Skylab underneath the Australian soil, since I believe it did crash in the Australian outback. Could be wrong on the exact spot. And they land. They left on Monday. They land sometime next Wednesday. And poor Homer brought his sled because he thought it would be winter, and instead it is summer, because that's how seasons work. There's also a great gag with Bart seeing the sign that says no, you know, outside flora or fauna in the country, which leads Bart to release his poor bullfrog into the airport topiary. And that'll come back to a joke a little later.
But that is,
apparently they don't have frogs in Australia.
No, they have lots of. That is based on an actual thing that happened in Australia, where they brought in. There was a beetle, the cane beetle. It was destroying sugar canes. So they brought in the cane toad to try and protect, or at least eliminate, the beetles. But the toads quickly became more of a problem than the beetles were, and now they are a serious problem in Australia that they still haven't fixed, because it's really early.
They're still dealing with the issue of all the rabbits they brought over, because apparently rabbits are also not native to Australia, and when the British brought them over, when they were colonizing it, they had to construct a giant fence to keep them imprisoned into, you know, one part of the country, because it was getting out of hand. They were destroying all the agriculture. Which, they have dingoes, and they have spiders and snakes that eat alligators, so why they have problems with rabbits, I couldn't tell you, but apparently they do.
Well, it's a big place.
And the cane toad problem, wasn't that the inspiration for Whacking Day? Like, is there not not now, but in the past, there was a Whacking Day of cane toads to help get rid of them?
Yes, they've actually used this thing for, I think, 3 times. First for the Whacking Day, and then this, and then also in, what episode is it? It is Bart the Mother, when they bring in the string of animals to solve the problems at the end.
Ending with gorillas.
Yes. They'll freeze to death in the winter. They probably have done it more than that, but for those 3 times, they have used this as inspiration. This is probably the most direct one, for sure. But the cane toads are also they're poisonous, so they also kill anything that tries to eat them. So it doesn't help. Like, if the thing that eats every cane toad also dies, not a solution.
You're not getting rid of those cane toads.
No.
So, after this little detour into biology, back to the Simpsons. The Simpsons arrive at the American embassy in Australia, and Homer proceeds to be his usual jackass self and proceeds to get punched by a Marine because he assumes they're like British guards that have to stay still and can't talk, which the Marine quickly disabuses him of this notion.
I enjoy it. It's pretty good.
Say what?
It's pretty good.
That won't be the last time that the Marines have to show Homer what. But they then meet the Honorable Avery Ward, who is the American ambassador to Australia. And, of course, the first thing that is asked of him is that whether the toilets run clockwise here. But it turns out that no, they don't.
Knock! Simpsons, I'd like you to meet our ambassador, the Honorable Avery Ward.
Hello. Now, everything is all set for Bart's apology. Mr. Conover will meet you at the Parliament House at 3 p.m. Any questions?
Yeah, do the toilets go backwards in here?
No. To combat homesickness, we've installed a device that makes them swirl the correct American way.
Sweet land of liberty.
To be fair, I pulled that clip just for Homer singing at the end, to be honest.
As much flack. Also, what were you saying, Matt?
I was say also, really, in the real world, all you need to do is change the direction the jets and the toilet go. That's really all you have to do to make it spin a different direction. But sorry, you were saying.
I was going to say, as much flack as this episode got from Australians, it is pretty critical of Americans in general as well. I mean,
oh yeah,
every. Although, I mean, I can't. I think there's people in every country who takes anything that is said negatively about their country very seriously, even if it's a joke.
And those people are very stupid people.
Oh, Matt.
What?
Oh, I have to get all
I'm going to get you so much hate mail.
You're doing Robbie to a lot of hate mail.
I know. Honestly, it's not that generally, but it's any. I usually like, okay, I disavow myself of anything. All of Matt's opinions are his and his alone. I'm not going to say sometimes nationalism isn't bad. I try and play whatever. Just anger everyone, Matt. That's
what I'm here for.
I guess so.
Anyway, the Simpsons prepare to go out and see a little bit of Australia before Bart's public apology. And we once again get Homer being a jackass in front of the Marine.
Hey, G.I. Joe, your sign's broken. We're already in Australia.
Actually, sir, the embassy is considered American soil, sir.
Really? Look, boy. Now I'm in Australia. Now I'm in America. Australia. America.
I get
Australia,
it, Dad.
America. Australia.
Homer,
America,
that's
Australia,
enough.
America. Australia. America.
Ow! Here in America, we don't tolerate that kind of crap, sir.
I'm sorry. Every time I hear that, I crack up. Well, someone finally called Homer on his stupidity.
I mean, it's not the first time, but it's, you know, when it's a Marine.
Mm-hmm.
Homer getting being obnoxious and then getting physical harm inflicted on him? No, it doesn't really get old. It's funny every time.
No, it doesn't. It's basically our sense of justice kicking in. Like, oh yeah, he deserved that. But, you know. Anyway, the Simpsons take a nice tour of Australia where Lisa, acting as tour guide, informs us that Australia was settled as a place for convicts from the British Empire in the, how was it? It was the early 1800s, I think, which is true. However, at that point, the British were attempting to basically settle it, and they needed bodies. So they started convicting people of pretty much any little crime whatsoever and then shipping them off to Australia and giving them no resources. That's definitely how you colonize someplace. That's one method of going about it.
I do like that. Sorry. The statue they have there is of Snake, basically.
Right?
It's pretty good.
Yes.
And then how apparently everyone in the museum is attempting to steal Marge and Lisa's wallets and purses and whatnot. Because I guess that's what they do.
I could understand that being... If I was Australian, I might be a little perturbed by...
Oh yeah,
like definitely. Having just random people be thieves all over the place.
Well, it's one thing to say your country was settled by prison convicts, which is technically true. It's another to imply that everyone there is still a thief or some sort of criminal. But anyway, we then see the Simpsons in a Australian bar where I think it's Bart or Lisa who's playing with the Swiss Army knife that has both a spork and a is it a spork or a fork? They're playing with, or a spoon and a fork.
Bart has the knife, Matt.
Bart has the knife. Okay,
he's just playing with his little. He's popping on a knife back and forth.
That's right. He's opening and closing it, and he then is approached by an Australian gentleman.
Matt,
who
did you not pull this?
I did not pull.
You
this,
didn't
no.
pull knifey spoony.
I did not pull knifey spoony. I didn't find it that funny.
It's a pretty classic
sorry,
bit. Wrong.
And that's thank you, Holly. Thank you. Thank you.
I have a few non-Simpsons fan right friends now. That even know it.
Yes, knifey spoony. I can't. And you didn't. And you didn't get the. Are you telling me you didn't get coffee or beer thing either?
I did not know.
Oh my. Oh man, Matt.
They're very one note.
Yeah, you're killing. You're killing me, Smalls. You're killing me. For two.
Oh,
that's two, Matt.
Right, fine,
two.
Fine.
Here, guys. Don't even bother with the complaints. Two, right there. One, two. Official.
All right, you know what I'm going to do?
No, we're not doing this. No. Come on, continue. No, we're not pulling audio as we go. Come on, continue. Knifey spoony.
You call that a knife? This is a knife.
That's not a knife, that's a spoon.
All right, you win. I see you've played knifey spoony before.
Hey, give me one of those famous giant beers I heard so much about.
Something wrong, Yank?
No, it's pretty big, I guess.
I'll just have a cup of coffee.
Beer it is.
No, I said coffee.
Beer.
Coffee.
Beer.
C-O.
B-A.
The important thing was the blank look he gets on his face when he tries to spell beer.
That's so okay. I will withdraw my official complaints. I don't know how you don't. I don't understand how you don't. Those are like the best in the world, Matt. I don't know why. Knifey Spoonie is so good.
I just assumed everyone could recite that from memory.
That's
and then, like,
Matt
that pictures it in their head.
Matt, they still want to hear it every time.
Oh, okay,
the parts I can recite from memory are most oftentimes my favorite parts.
Thank you, Holly. That's what sane people believe.
That's true. I did pull the Stonecutter song, so I suppose I should have pulled those as well. But well, now they're here.
They're
so
here.
We'll be okay.
We got them. All right. Good.
Also, I'd like to point out that Foster's is not beer. The beer can that they pull out is a Foster's, and that is not even a beer that is sold in Australia. So,
well,
yeah,
Matt, I hate to break it to you. There's multiple things in this episode not remotely true about Australia.
You mean they actually have coffee in Australia?
They do have coffee in Australia.
What?
But, we haven't got... What happens next, Matt?
All right, moving on. We then see Bart and Homer go to the House of Parliament, which is very German-looking and is apparently stolen from Austria because it says the Parliament House of Austria and the AL are just... Or ALIA, whatever.
Yeah.
Are just kind of like added in there.
It's such a subtle thing, too. Like, they never call attention to that.
Less than a second.
They never call attention to the fact that, yes, it's another joke about them stealing. Never, like, they don't mention it. It just is there. And it is funny.
But once they get there, it goes pretty much how you'd expect any case against a 10-year-old would go. They're very nice to him. Bart gives a very sincere and heartfelt sounding apology. But then things go in a Simpsonian direction where the Australians decide that, in addition to having to apologize, Bart is going to get a booting, which is apparently a real skinny Australian guy comes in with a giant boot and they are apparently going to kick Bart in the butt. And with trepidation, that is where we go to commercial.
This is also not a thing that happens in Australia, Matt.
What?
I feel like I should be pointing...
I just assumed, I mean...
I should be pointing all these things out
for you. I told my
you.
Mom and sister when they went to Australia, wash your butts.
Watch. Well, I mean, that's important. They've gone to Australia?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm jealous. I'm gonna go to Australia.
The plane ride's not worth it.
If you're there long enough, I think it is.
True. Also, the internet there is very bad.
Oh, Matt. Like, I don't... Oh, you. When we come back...
I know what's important, dang it.
Of course, yes. Internet connection, that's all that matters. Who cares about new countries? The Simpson men feel betrayed, as they honestly should. Corporal punishment, I would think you should at least be informed about it beforehand.
Well, this is surprise corporal punishment.
Oh, is that...
That's the next step up, is there's regular scheduled corporal punishment, then there's surprise corporal punishment, then there's capital punishment.
I don't even know how... Okay. They are betrayed, but, of course, disparaging the boot is a bootable offense. Homer takes the opportunity right before Bart is going to be booted and takes the boot and has it like a gun? Which I can't really pull this because it's just noises, but he holds it like a gun on his hand, but then puts it on his... My question is, it matter where it is? Like, is it still a booting if you punch someone with the boot?
I assume, because you're still striking them with a piece of footwear, so still a booting.
Holly?
I'm with Matt, yeah.
Okay, good. We got this. I agree with you guys. I'm just making sure. Consensus there. But Homer does switch it to his foot and then take the prime minister hostage with the boot, and they all the Australians back off right away because you don't want to mess that boot. It's a serious, maybe it, I wonder if it's like a shame thing, like if someone's been booted, like there it's on them forever.
Well, the boot as big as the original one, I assume that would like crack your butt bone and you wouldn't be able to sit down for a while.
Is
so
that,
that's pretty long lasting.
Is that the scientific name, Matt?
You mean the coccyx? Is that what you're going for?
I know. I heard the words butt bone, so I was just making sure.
Indeed. I have to dumb it down for you.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. You know, I like the layman's explanation as much as possible. Homer makes an impassioned defense against booting.
When will you Australians learn? In America, we stopped using corporal punishment, and things have never been better. The streets are safe. Old people strut confidently through the darkest alleys, and the weak and nerdy are admired for their computer programming abilities. So, like us, let your children run wild and free. Because, as the old saying goes, let your children run wild and free.
I'm unfamiliar with that old saying. Well, Homer, maybe it's like a Springfield thing.
Homer's facial expressions really sell because his eyes are darting all over the time. So he's clearly scrambling, trying to explain what he's actually saying. But they escape. He throws the boot out the window. They run. We get a chase sequence where we get the obligatory boomerang joke.
Well, it's Australia,
of course. They have to fit in every single possible Australian stereotype in there.
Well, there were no dingoes, so at least there's that.
There's a dingo joke in here, Matt. They don't see a dingo. Yeah, Bart says, "I think I hear a dingo eating your baby."
Oh, that's right. That's true. That's true.
So then right after the boomerang, Homer and Bart try and jump into kangaroos.
Does not work.
They're not like on TV. They are slimy and gross inside. But we cut to Lisa and Marge. They're in like a tourist shop. Lisa wants a didgeridoo. I wouldn't think they'd be that expensive, would they?
I think, especially in tourist shops, they might not be, but if you want an authentic one, I think there's quite an art to it. So it'd probably be pretty expensive. I assume Lisa, as a connoisseur of musical instruments, would desire a real one. So it's probably pretty expensive.
I don't know. She was getting pretty good sound of that when she had.
Well, she's a natural musician, you know.
And she is. And she's experienced with wind instruments. So, you know, that's not crazy. We do get more lovely, insane Australian talk.
Get out, get out. Oops, shoot, get out of here. Ugh. These bloody things are everywhere. They're in the lift, in the lorry, in the bone wizard, and all over the Malunga Gildachuk.
They're like kangaroos, but they're reptiles, they is.
We have them in America. They're called bullfrogs.
What? That's an odd name. I'd have called them chazwazzers.
I still...
Okay, Lyft and lorry are definitely real ones. The third one, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure Malunga Gulacek is not a real thing. If we have any Australian listeners, I would love to know.
We for certain have some Australian listeners.
Well, I would like to know.
I'm sure that we'll get plenty of answers from them from this episode. Chazwazzers.
What?
No, it's just great.
I love that there's the Australian squeaky voice teen too.
There, of course, we have to have the parallels. But as they're in the tour shop, both Homer and Bart come running by, and they march and Lisa. And then we get more further chase sequence into the American Embassy, where the American Embassy also tries to shut them out.
Well, they're inconvenient, so that's what the American government does with citizens who are inconvenient. They just forget about them and place them at the mercy of foreigners. Didn't you know that, Robbie?
I mean, generally, that's not true.
I know.
Generally, honestly, most Americans that are, like, trapped in foreign countries generally do get at least some sort of effort. They escape. The crowd is stopped by the gate at the edge of the embassy. Marge is angry with the government, with Evan Conover. I do want to mention Phil Hartman does an excellent job as Evan Conover. It's kind of those kind of roles are really great for Phil Hartman. He really is kind of the everyman. So when you like a just kind of faceless bureaucrat, of course he would excel.
Faceless bureaucrat, any type of entertainer, really, he can do. Basically, anyone who is more than a background character, but less than a like star of the show, essentially.
I don't know.
Although he could probably be a star if he tried.
No, that's a lot of pieces about Phil. Okay, I could talk about Phil Hartman for like 10 minutes right now. We probably shouldn't do that. Phil Hartman does a great job in this episode. But Marge is upset with the American diplomats. She's told not to talk ever to again after she interrupts the phone conversation. They negotiate down so to Bart just getting a booting with a regular shoe. It's actually a wingtip.
And that's important because, you know, those hard-soled shoes probably hurt a lot more.
I don't know. But, you know, even Marge is initially very resistant to that. But Bart, he's willing to finally accept responsibility. He is saying, like, let's just get it over with. I'll take my punishment and we can move on. At least that is what we presume is going to happen. They march him out to the gate. He is in position to get his booting, his regular shoe booting.
From the Prime Minister himself.
From the Prime Minister himself, who's backed up by the extras from Mad Max. And, I mean, that is everyone in the back is just basically like any Australian stereotype you'd reckon. I believe I saw Crocodile Dundee in there. Am I missing anything? Anyone else you guys notice?
Mel Gibson's probably part of the Road Warrior crew, so that's the only other Australian who I think would have been active at this time.
No Yahoo Serious?
I don't know what he looks like, so I couldn't tell you.
But Matt, you're the big fan of young Einstein.
I am, but I could tell you the guy who he looked like who starred in it. But did you say he was the star or just the director and writer?
He was the star.
Oh, okay. I did not see that guy. No, he actually kind of looked like Sideshow Bob for a large portion of the, at least in terms of hair.
Regardless, I also wish I could pull this, but it's just angry crowd noises and Bart humming. So I can't, there's not much there. But Bart, at the very last second, jumps out of the way of the booting, pulls down his pants to moon the crowd, and on his butt, it says, "Don't tread on me." Which is, I know it's coming every time, right?
Right. It's also very surprising that Bart knows that reference at all.
I know it's coming every time. Still laugh. Every single time. I don't know how the Simpsons do it, because, like, a lot of about comedy is, like, surprise, but I know it's coming, and I still laugh. I don't know. It's just, like, the synergy of, like, all those angry people behind him as he's mooning them. Also, Matt, you know, we talked about getting a tattoo for one of our future trivia challenges, maybe?
You talked about that, yes.
What about this? You want to get, maybe put this, "Don't tread on me" on your butt? No?
Maybe.
You want to be visible?
That's true.
Except your wife.
It might be very painful.
Nah,
that's true.
Nah, your butt's
going to find somebody who can do good artwork.
Your butt's meaty. It won't be that bad. There's no, you know, you get a lot of padding. Me and Matt had plenty of it. They make it, the Simpsons, the gate is destroyed by the angry Australians. They are driven to a fury. Marge wishes his... I have the clip.
"I'm glad you're okay, honey, but I wish you'd chosen a more tasteful way to be patriotic.
I'm impressed you were able to write so legibly on your own butt."
The tasteful way to be patriotic was the thing I was trying to remember. But yes, I write so legibly on your own butt is something I think about a lot. But they make their way to the helicopter that is waiting for them. I think this is supposed to harken back to, like, the Americans escape from, what was it, Taiwan? What am I thinking of, Matt?
You mean Vietnam?
Vietnam.
Saigon?
Saigon. Saigon. I'm an idiot. Okay. Thank you. But they escape in the helicopter. They are going to a laundry ship. Not very glamorous or sexy. Escape, but they are escaping. As they look out the window, all those bullfrogs are eating the Australian crops. Another thing that is entirely scientifically accurate, Matt.
That's exactly true. That's what bullfrogs will do. They will eat you out of house and home.
They love corn.
I'm not even sure if they actually farm in Australia.
I did pull this because it's
"Those frogs are eating all their crops!"
"Well, that's what happens when you introduce foreign species into an ecosystem that can't handle them."
Yeah. And the koala is the koala hanging on to the helicopter is as it zooms in on its dead, cold, lifeless eyes.
That sounds about right.
I think I've probably seen koalas at a zoo. I don't think I've ever like interacted with one though. But so why?
You ever see a picture of one wet and angry, it will terrify you, and you will never sleep again.
What you?
Look up a wet koala.
No, why would I do it after you just said that? Why would I look that up? I don't want to be terrified by cute koalas.
Okay, fair enough.
All right. Of course, the koala is going to have terrifying. If it's going to get back to America, it's going to have to navigate a lot because it's going to have to get off of a laundry ship and then jump back onto another helicopter.
You know that hopping in laundry is just how you get anywhere? People don't notice you when you're in laundry.
I mean, that's a fair point. That's how the episode ends. This episode is crazy.
Crazy hilarious. Yes, you're right.
Yes, that's what I mean. Like, we are talking about in Homie the Clown about how it's very absurd. This episode is like even further. It's like, it's just like, hey, the Simpsons go to Australia and then just we make up everything about Australia and it's completely insanity and it's hilarious. I don't know how to I think it's a beauty of the show is the fact that it can do so many different things.
And yeah, sorry, go ahead.
What are you about to say something negative, Matt?
No, absolutely not. No.
Okay, all right. I don't know. I heard you going like meh, like making a meh noise.
No, I was not.
Okay, Holly, you love this episode?
Oh, absolutely, it's great.
Where is this? Okay, we're not ranking it yet, but where is it? Top 10, top 20 in yours? Top 5?
It's probably top 20.
Okay, all right. Well,
I have a lot of favorites in seasons 8 and 9.
Yeah, that's I think that's both Matt and I as well. And this is kind of getting like it does the just completely off the wall stuff that 8 and 9 does, but 8 and 9 I think mixes it more with kind of like heart and emotion tying those things together. This doesn't have a lot of like character stuff in it, other than just like general mischief with Bart and Marge being protective. But honestly,
Homer being his usual jackass self.
Yeah, but there's not like it's everything's in character, but it's not like it's like full of heart or anything. It's very much just more like we are just gonna make solid wall to wall laugh episode, which I am all for. But we will rank it at the end of the show. We'll see where it goes. We have multiple my favorite episode submissions for this one, 3 to be precise.
Whoa, is that the most we've ever had for one episode?
No, Lisa on Ice, we had 4.
Oh.
Maybe 5? We had a lot for Lisa on Ice. That was a huge...
We got a lot of hockey fans in the audience, I guess.
Yes, Matt, that is why people like that episode. It's because there's hockey in it.
I think I sense sarcasm in your voice.
No.
Oh, okay.
Not me. Here we go. First from Kevin. My favorite episode is Barbara Australia. It has so many things in it. Australia, Hitler, kangaroos, and Chazwalzers. And the best lines, hey, I think I hear a dingo eat your baby, and the beer and coffee thing, and Knifey Spoonie, and this is for the United States of America with Don't Tread on Me. All the calls Bart made to the Southern Hemisphere, as well as the toilet swirling machine, which tons. All those things I agree with. Let's see. Next up from Richie. We have, hi, loving the podcast. Keep it up. Thank you very much. Thought I'd submit my favorite episode and why. And unlike most people, I'm not going for an episode I find particularly heartfelt or moving, but one that's my favorite for other reasons. Me and my group of friends are some of those annoying people who quote The Simpsons at each other at every possible opportunity. That's not annoying.
That's what friends do. If you don't know that your friends, why are they your friends?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's endearing.
Yeah. I think they mean to others. I'm guessing if he means to other people who are not Simpsons. Well, and if you're not
losers,
if you're not a Simpsons fan, who cares? I'm sorry. It's tough to pick just one episode, but I think that Bart vs. Australia has provided more fodder for quotes than any other episodes. You are gay, which we didn't mention that, but Homer makes that after he looks at the Uruguay on the globe. $900 dues. Beer, Chazwalzers, and of course Knifey Spoonie are all deeply rooted parts of our collective vocabulary for the last 20 plus years, have become almost like our own language. One of the best parts of The Simpsons, the way it's stayed a constant in our friendship for so long, that's why I pick it as my favorite episode. No, I think that's very true. But that dollar you do bits, I don't know if you guys have it followed up on. I know that it was in the news a while ago. People tried to get that to be a name of Australian currency. It got I think it won, but they just ignored it.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want to name their money Dollarydoos.
Well, they're also related to the country who didn't want to name their boat Bodie McBoatface. So, you know, a stick-in-the-mud government types.
No. This is finally from Chris. This is a little here. From Chris. Bart vs. Australia is not the perfect episode of The Simpsons. It may not be the funniest either. It's my favorite because it carries a memory of what the entire show has done for me. In 1997, after my sister died, my dad lost his job. Then he got cancer. By the end of the year, my parents' marriage ended. It was not a barrel of laughs. I was 12. It was just Dad and I in the house. We didn't have one genuine emotion between the two of us. At dinner, we always watched the news. It was always a story of a shooting, a robbery, a tragedy. One night, Dad asked, "Do you want to watch something else?" I turned the dial over to Fox, where Bart vs. Australia was just getting started. When Bart drops his pants and reveals, "Don't tread on me," my dad laughed so hard he turned red. I've never seen him laugh like that before or since. For the part of my brain that always lives in Springfield, life has never sucked. I love the podcast. Well, thank you very much, Chris. And that is certainly a reason. Like, I think everyone can name those things when, like, you watch, like, something and you're like, it just takes you away from your life. Everything's...
That sounds about right.
Yeah, everything's great again. But if you have a particular episode that is your favorite, please submit to SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Remember our own email address. That's in the...
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah, exactly. Saying why a certain episode is your favorite, and I'll read it on air when we get to it. Next up, it is time for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments from the news group is where I will comb through the old alt.tv.simpsons news group and see what people were talking about when the episode came out, what they thought of the episode, if there's anything else in the news. That phone number that I read earlier in the show, that was on here. Surprising no one, I guess.
Nope.
This episode had very mixed reactions. I don't know what to... There were people calling this the worst episode ever.
And those people are dead inside.
I don't know what they wanted. But there's also people who thought this episode was great, including people who we made fun of people who didn't like Bart's Comet. They thought... So there's one person in particular said, "I was among those who didn't like Bart's Comet, but I really loved this episode."
Those people must have something very specific about the show they either like or don't like, because there's not a whole lot different. I mean, I feel like Bart's Comet might spend a little more time on the relationships between people and those sorts of things than this episode did, because this episode spent like zero time on that. But there's not a whole lot different besides that between these two episodes.
Yeah, they're just, I mean, this is definitely, certainly focuses more on comedy and just like trying to make laughs instead of like trying to craft like, you know, kind of some emotional arcs within the plot of the story. But I try and decipher, like, why do people like who liked it early on? I mean, if you didn't like the show early on, I would think you wouldn't, if you like, because this is like way far away from what the Simpsons started as. You know, Simpsons started as very sitcom kind of focused, like here's a but just a dysfunctional family instead of like the model family that you see in a lot of sitcoms. And they don't like the oddball humor. We've touched on it a couple times. But I don't know why they would. I don't know. Also, all the Australians were angry on the message boards.
Well, they're not shocking at all there.
I don't know. It's hard for me. I'm not Australian, so I can't judge it. But I don't know. I feel like, I wanted to bring this up. I guess this is the time for it. A lot of episodes where the Simpsons go to like foreign countries aren't great.
Yeah, the Canada one was immensely disappointing.
I try and pinpoint like why I think this one is so revered, and I think I like the Japanese one as well. It's not as good, but I still like it to a certain degree. But most other ones are like just mediocre most of the time, or even downright bad. I'm like, I don't know necessarily. Do you guys have any ideas? Like, why they're the difference?
I mean, we've talked about this a little bit before. Basically, that the more realistic they try and be about a country, the more likely they are to really offend a broad swath of people. Because I feel like the whole point of The Simpsons is to make jokes. And when you try and make jokes about how a country actually is, you're going to hurt somebody's feelings. But if you're making jokes against a weird caricature, you're not really going to hurt anybody's feelings because that's not how it actually is. You'll get a few people who don't understand the humor and think that the show is saying that their country is like that, but that's a far smaller proportion of people than the ones who will actually be hurt when their country is portrayed even somewhat accurately and then made fun of. That's why Australia and Japan are pretty okay, Brazil and the UK, Canada, not as much.
Yeah, Holly, as a Canadian, what about that episode is it just that it wasn't funny, or do you can you intuit any?
Oh, I was disappointed by the fact that their trip to Canada happens in the last 3 minutes of the episode. I think the whole episode is focused on Bart dating Rainier Wolfcastle's daughter, and then Milhouse steals her, and then they go to Canada for 2 minutes and then it's over. And in Canada, when that episode was about to air, all our channels were like, oh my gosh, this weekend, Simpsons go to Canada. So I sat down and tuned in, and 15 minutes passed, and I was kind of like, what's going on here? That's the disappointment for me with that one.
I see parallels between Australia and Canada because, they're both, were British countries.
Colonies,
yeah. And now are basically independent. They're not, the whole bit in comedies, you can't punch down, they're all mostly, white people, you're not, when you're going after Brazil or Africa, very seems much like you're targeting minorities and impoverished people, which that's not funny to make fun of third world countries. That's bad. Yeah. That's not good. They're first world countries. You're allowed to make fun of them for the most part. And I think that might be the same thing with Japan, but the UK is also, they're a first world country. It's just not, I think the UK episode's pretty also disappointing. It's just saying,
that's true. It feels like it needs to actually end up being a good episode for someone to not get offended. If you laugh enough, people are going to be okay with it. But
people were offended anyway. Every single country, they even make mention of that multiple times. The writers and producers and creators are always like, it doesn't matter if we ever go to another country. They always get upset regardless of what we do. I'm like, I don't know. If it's just hey, they just don't try and be serious. I don't know. It's a weird thing that this by far is the best. The Simpsons go to another country episode, and I like watching it. The only thing that stands out is just how far off from reality is, which the other episodes do that to a certain extent as well. Some of them, but they're not. Maybe it's just the oddball nature of Australia and in Japan, and our kind of cultural zeitgeist is we think of those countries as strange, even though they are. Go ahead.
I think the fact that this episode is in one of those great earlier seasons, and as they visit more countries, you're getting into a later and later season, which when you look at the rest of that season as a whole, isn't quite as satisfying as some of the earlier seasons. That might play a part into it as well. It's just that season 11 episodes just aren't as great as season 7 episodes, kind of thing.
No, I agree. I mean, that is also certainly plays a part in it. This is kind of new still at this point. And as they go along, they have already kind of run through the gamut of things they can do. But I don't know. I try and figure this stuff out when I'm doing dishes, and I can't ever come up with anything. There wasn't much else on the news group. A lot of people, angry people. Apparently, The Simpsons also, some of the episodes that were being aired in, why can't I think of the word?
Syndication?
Syndication. Thank you very much, Holly. Were being cut to make time or something, and so people were upset. I don't know.
Yeah, anytime I watch the DVDs, because I've obviously watched the majority of seasons in syndication on TV, or if I download a torrent of the DVDs, I always get those little bonus couple second bits here and there, and I really enjoy those.
Well, you want the whole thing, and that's, I understand why, especially at a time when you had to resort to tape trading and stuff if you wanted to actually see everything reliably. I understand people's frustration. We can move on to our next segment. It is time for the listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow.
KBBL is gonna give me something stupid.
The hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow.
The listener of the question, listener question of the week this week is, what is your favorite Krusty moment? Which I had to do some deep thinking on this.
Yeah, seriously, this is a tough one.
There's so many good ones. First, we have Mike at a Mike Bloom type. What the hell was that? In response to worker and parasite, applicable in so many situations. Alex at Alex Farron. And now a word from our sponsor, Percodan. Brian at Brianophile. If you watch my show, I will give you $40. Checks will not be honored. Scott Anderson at Pure Cromlins. Sex Cauldron. I thought they shut that place down. That is good. Scott at Ryko Lives. Rory B. Bellows throwing the GPS machine into the sea. Tell me where you are now, you bastard. That's pretty good. Samuel at Samrook89. He's spinning the ball on his finger. Take the ball. Also, what the hell was that? So, a lot of good worker parasite. Let's see. We have Chris. Krusty's remorse at the end of Camp Krusty. You want to be Bart or you want to be Krusty, Matt?
I'll be Bart.
Okay, you go ahead.
All right, let's start it up. And one of the campers was eaten by a bear.
Oh, my God.
Well, actually, the bear stole his hat.
Was it a nice hat?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't do that gravelly, crusty voice, but you guys get the idea. Thomas, it's not my favorite moment, but whenever I watch a boring movie, I always pull up the, oh, that just kept going, huh? Clip from Lisa the Beauty Queen to emphasize my point. Chad, Sideshow Raheem. The script says I have to bonk you with this? I wouldn't. Right on. Angry young man. Nick, Bart, I need your fingerprints on a candlestick. Meet me in the conservatory. Everything is going to be all right. Any clue reference, I'm for. John, what's that say? Talk to the audience. Oh, God, this is always death. Which I am right there with you, Krusty. All right. Rob, from Lisa's first word. You people are pigs. I personally am going to spit in every 50th burger. Homer's response.
I like those odds.
There you go. From Charlotte, garnish my celery. That's, again, from Bart the Frank. It's great. And finally, from Raheel, anything where his dad is involved, I cry every time. All right. Aww. Matt, what is your answer?
I think Holly, as our guest of honor, should go before me. So, Holly, what do you think?
I was going to say, you save her for after you. You're just a regular schmo that I see all the time.
Fine, whatever. I actually really enjoyed the episode in season 14. Mr. Spritz Goes to Washington, where Krusty gets to learn the real way that a bill works. And I just the entire episode, really, but especially when he's blackmailing people to get his bill onto the floor. I really enjoyed that.
Okay, all right, Holly, what is your answer?
Oh, my favorite is from Lisa versus Malibu Stacy, when Lisa's in there ready to record her lines for Lisa Lionheart and Krusty bursts in to record the talking Krusty doll. And he says, one, hey, kids, I'm talking Krusty. Two, hey, kids, here comes Sideshow Mel. Sideshow Mel. Four, and then he tells Lisa that's how the professionals do it. And then the technician says, we're ready, Krusty. Krusty?
he's gone. Yeah.
It makes me laugh every time.
It is really good. And I give you credit for actually doing the Krusty laugh. That my favorite answer is actually not a funny necessarily, quote unquote, like bit, but
whoa.
It is, I mean, it's, I don't know, it gets to the heart. I think I like it so much because it gets to the heart of Krusty's character. And it's also from Bart the Fink, which I absolutely love Bart the Fink. And it's at the end after they finally have found Krusty and he's on his boat and they're trying to like egg him into coming back and the way they finally get him to crack and come back as Krusty is the fact that as Krusty he gets more respect than all the educators and leaders and all the respectable people, and he as a clown gets more respect than all of them put together.
An illiterate TV clown.
And on top of it, an illiterate TV clown. And I feel like that really is emblematic of Krusty in general.
That is accurate. I would like to say real quick, I had a very close runner-up, and it's from Itchy, It's Scratchy, and Poochie, when he says, I have to go now, my planet needs me. I love that Krusty does the actual voice over there.
Well, I mean, yeah, I can't. Next week's question, what is your favorite quote-unquote American moment? I would say American gag, but, you know, I'm going to leave it out there. Could be patriotic, could be a joke about America, could be a lot of things. Think about it, you guys. Yeah, post this question on all our social media. facebook.com/thesimpsonsshowpod, on Twitter @simpsonsshowpod. You can email us at simpsonsshowpod@gmail.com. Reach out in those places, and you'll see that. I try to post links to stuff Simpsons-related when I see it, and all that. Matt?
Yes?
Oh, don't want to hear you. It is time for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge for Matt and I will each try and stump each other with three trivia questions, one easy, one medium, one hard. We do have a wager on this season's results. The host that does not win has to mow the other's lawn in their wife's Sunday best. I will not be in America when this season ends, and I will not have a lawn.
So, let's just hope I win.
No, no.
No, but.
We'll figure it out. We do have a theme for this episode. It is from Hugh. It is from your favorite modern episodes. And I took modern. I limited it to the last five years. Some people would say modern is last, you know, whatever, but I just went, 5 years is good. That's fine. How did we work this, man? Is this a competition, right? Or I forget how it works.
What do you mean?
With a guest. My questions are just for you, right? And your questions are just for me, but then Holly's questions are for both.
Correct. That's generally how we do it.
Two easy, two medium, and two hard.
Oh, okay. Holly's. Oh, okay. Well then, Holly, we'll do like we did. I think it was. I can't remember. I can't keep straight. But we can figure it out. I'll start us off, Matt.
All right.
Easy question for you. In Brick Like Me, what building toy does the show use to create most of the episode?
Lego. Sorry.
That is correct. I was worried there for a moment.
Sorry, I was trying to figure out what you were talking about, then I remembered the episode. My bad.
Okay. I am actually, when we got this theme, I was like, and I used this, I'm like, I'm afraid I'm not going to get any of these right, but we'll see.
That's true. I think I went pretty easy on you, except for the hard question. So, your easy question, who did Flanders date after Maude died and his fling with the gospel singer faded out? He really only had one relationship in the later seasons at all.
Matt, I think you overrate my,
Oh, man.
It
is an easy question, so I'll give you a hint, unless you don't want it.
I'll take it.
Their relationship couple name was Nedna.
Oh, right. Edna Krabappel. Yes.
There you go.
It was a summer long.
No, I did.
They, won't they?
I did know that. I knew it. You say Edna, I'm like, oh, right, of course they did. Okay, Matt, your medium question.
Mm.
Now, this is a medium for you. For most other people, this would probably be an easy. At least anyone who's seen this episode. I know you've seen this episode, so this is merely a measure of your knowledge. In Halloween of Horror, the grown-ups sing a song dedicated to grown-up Halloween. This song is a parody of what song from what movie?
Wow.
I know you've seen this episode.
We talked about this episode from this season. A parody of an actual song?
I'm glad that I judge your knowledge of this accurately, because this is a slam dunk. I knew it like in 6 seconds, but
I got nothing. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Holly, have you seen Halloween of Horror?
I have several times, actually.
Do you know this one?
Well, I know it's something from Rocky Horror Picture Show, but I've never seen that movie, so I don't know what.
You are correct. It is from Rocky Horror Picture Show. It is Time Warp is the name of the song that it is parodying.
Oh, God, how did I miss that?
I've
never heard of that movie.
Yeah. It was played at your wedding, Matt.
I know. I
always thought that song was saying time of year, to be perfectly honest.
If you have never seen the movie, it doesn't really mean much. Okay, Matt, give me a medium question.
All right, your medium question. What pop star did Marge make out with?
This is a complete guess.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really just me trying to intuit. Can you give me name and episode?
Yes. Let me look it up real quick. I can't give you the name of the episode because it's totally going to give you the answer to the question.
Lady Gaga.
You're right.
That's what I was. That's Uh-huh. You didn't even have to tell me the name. You decided to tell me that you couldn't.
Yeah.
Ha 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 ha. You're a hard question, Matt.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get this.
This is really hard.
Great.
This is really hard. But, you know, it's a hard question. I'm behind by a lot of points. I need to make it up. Uh-huh. In The Saga of Carl, the score for the Icelandic scenes is done by what indie rock band?
Are you seriously asking me this?
I am.
Saga of Carl. Indie rock band?
Yep. Native to Iceland. There's a hint for you.
The only person I know that's from Iceland is Björk.
It is not Björk. She's not indie rock. But
I didn't think so. That's what I'm saying.
I'll tell you it's not Björk. I'll give you that. It's not Björk.
Okay. I have no clue. I don't know anything about indie music.
Can I throw a guess in there?
Sure.
Is it Bon Iver?
No, it is not Bon Iver. It's Sigur Rós. That's my best.
Okay, I have never heard that name before.
Really?
Nope.
Okay.
Never.
I'm married to someone who's very educated about popular music, so that's probably why I'm more familiar. Mm. But okay, you give me my hard question, Matt.
All right. Your hard question. What is Bart's Mexican wrestling name?
Oh, God. I don't know. Let's see. I'll guess. El Barto.
Oh, I'm afraid that's incorrect. It is El Guapo.
Okay. It's worth a shot. It's already Spanish. Hmm. All right. Let me make sure I got point totals for that. Where's the little thing? Mm-hmm. There it is. Okay. So, all right, Holly. You give... Here, we'll do... How did... I forget if we did it. Did we do all of mine and all of yours? Or did we do back and forth? I think we did all of each person. I think that seems simple.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so give Matt his questions. If Matt is incorrect, I get a shot at the question.
All right.
And do I get a shot at the ones you get wrong?
Yes.
No.
Yes, Matt.
Oh.
Yes.
Making sure.
And I was about to say and vice versa, but you got to cut me off.
Okay.
But go ahead, Holly. Give Matt his
all
question.
My questions are from season 23, which is a favorite season of mine from the later seasons. My brother and I both like it very much. We ended up watching basically the entire season one time when we went to Comic-Con in the evening. Okay, so we're going with Matt first.
Go ahead. Yep.
All right. Who is the founder of Springface, Springfield's answer to Facebook?
Lisa Simpson.
Correct. All right, next one, medium question. Who guest voices the new nuclear plant security guard in the episode The Falcon and the Doughman?
Okay, I don't actually know this, but I'm pretty sure it's Kiefer Sutherland.
You are correct.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Cleaning it up. I don't know. My hard question is definitely hard, so we'll see how you do here. In the episode The Man in the Blue Flannel Pants, Homer enters the Quickie Mart incognito, but Apu can tell it is Homer based on what the hot dogs do. What is it that they do?
Do they hide?
You're on the right track, but if you hadn't seen the episode, you wouldn't know the answer.
Okay, so they run away and hide.
They spin counterclockwise in fear.
I'm gonna have to go watch that. That sounds amazing.
Season 23's got a lot of laughs.
It really does. I actually have been watching the later seasons, and I watched about half of season 23 trying to catch up for this trivia theme.
It's pretty good. All right, Robbie, are you ready?
Sure. I have a feeling I'm not gonna do as well as Matt.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see.
All right. Easy question. Who started the political movement nicknamed the Gravy Boat?
Homer Simpson?
Correct. I made my easy questions easy enough that you could probably figure it out even if, you know, you'd never seen it.
Yes. Well, yep.
All right. Medium question.
Okay.
What real-world fantasy author guest voices as a member of Homer's team in The Book Job?
Just so you know, I know this, Robbie. So if you don't feel like answering, don't need to.
If I get it wrong, you can still chime in there. But I think I know it. Neil Gaiman.
Correct.
That makes sense. I'm lucky. I'm lucky that I know that there's only so many fantasy authors. That would appear on The Simpsons, be famous enough to be called fantasy authors, be on The Simpsons.
Fair enough. All right, and the final question, the hard question, is what is the name of the restaurant review blog started by Marge, Lisa, and Bart in The Food Wife?
I don't
know.
Come
on, Robbie. It's not hard.
Oh, God. It's not hard? Oh, no. I don't want Nat to get it. That's bad. Don't know, Matt. Yeah, Matt. What is it, Matt?
Okay, I'm only 80% sure, but I'm pretty sure it's the Three Mouthketeers.
You are correct.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, man.
Oh no, I've given him more of a lead.
Well, yeah, it's another point. That was after the final total. Matt gets 7 points out of that. I get 6. I had just until that question. I had 2 points on him, but now it. Now Matt is up 63-54. It's right. It's fine. I just need to. From now on, I will cater all the punishments to me. From now on, this for moving forward, I think that is what I'll have to do. But if you guys have any trivia themes or questions you'd like to send them in to any of the aforementioned social media places on our email, and I will use a theme, or I will, when we have the little bit extra time, I'll grill Matt with them. We can move on. Oh, wait. Oh, I almost forgot.
Segments?
Yeah, the official debut of our new segment. We kind of teased it a couple weeks ago, but now there's an actual clip for it. It is time for formal complaints.
Boy, I really hope somebody got fired for that blunder.
formal complaints is anytime you guys have an official formal complaint, please let us know. And we will, if I deem them justified, you know, if they're reasonable, we can air them. We have two. They're both from Brian, who's been a guest on the show in the past. One is, I didn't pull the funny place name clip from Homie the Clown, and I can accept that. I probably should have. Keokuk, Seattle.
Kamunga.
Seattle. Also, secondary, despite Matt's scientific explanation, electric shock buzzers do exist. They're very weak, though.
Did I actually say they don't exist, or they just weren't very good?
I thought you just said they needed a while to charge back up, and you wouldn't be able to shake hands consecutively.
I do remember saying that, but it's also very possible I said what he says I said.
I do not recall. We say a lot of things. But thank you, Brian. Those are reasonable. Reasonable complaints. If you have,
it's true. They're very good to start our first official segment.
Yeah, we can move on to our final segment, the segment we end every single episode with. It is time for best episode ever.
Best episode ever.
Best episode ever is part of show, Matt. I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Where would you put this one, Matt?
It's actually really tough. I was looking at our best ever list, and I'm trying to find something to compare it to. And I'm looking right around Bard of Darkness. It doesn't
Number super 12. Match.
Well, it just is one to compare it to. I don't know if it's as good as that one. I'm just trying to find something that tends to be Bart-centric, which actually, it's kind of weird in our top 20, which I think we talked about at least Holly said she would put in her top 20. They're surprisingly, with the exception of, I think, Bart's Comet and kind of Lisa on Ice, there aren't a lot of Bart-centric episodes, whereas this one feels like a Bart episode, especially since the title. So I'm looking around that area, Bart of Darkness.
I would, thematically, I would tie it closest to Mr. Plow, probably.
Yeah, it's definitely got that same mostly humorous, not a whole lot of, you know, which is heart, as we say.
Mr. Plow is 14. I don't honestly think there is a comparison to, because I think Bard of Darkness is a little bit deeper.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't want to take points off just because, hey, it's only funny. But, you know, I think a large part of our list is just that, like, it's funny and whatever. And it has tension, like it's a thriller like Cape Fear, and it has a lot of, it's like action-packed, and it's super emotionally impactful, you know. Holly, you, I don't know, you If you have a, you can go to our website. It is currently up to date and see the list as well if you want to actually see it.
Sure. I was actually just consulting my own list.
Oh.
Because I've been working on one and I'm up to season 8 in ranking mine, and I've got this at number 15.
Okay. Mm. Oof. All right. I think that, yeah.
I have very different criteria than you guys do. I'm all about the laughs. All
right.
And I actually avoid the feels.
Okay.
I don't want to cry. All
right.
I don't ever want to cry from the episode. I just want to laugh. So no Mona Simpson episodes in my house.
Aww. What do you have number one, may I ask?
A Homer Simpson versus the City of New York.
Oh.
It's a very good episode. It's tough for me. I think I would put this. It's tricky. Probably right above Mr. Plow, which is number 14. I think I would go right up, maybe above Rosebud. What do you think, Matt?
I think definitely above Rosebud. I think Rosebud is a good episode, but it kind of lacks in the laughs. One thing I noticed about this particular episode is that it seems like most of the laughs are quick in and out. There's not a whole lot of buildup, and I feel like there are a lot of gags in Rosebud that have a lot of buildup, which can make it a slower feeling episode. And I really appreciate how, there's a lot of easy laughs in this that make it, you know, it's a really, really funny episode.
Okay.
And very quotable.
I can agree at number 13. I would not put it above Bard of Darkness, though.
No, I think Bard of Darkness is layered enough to be important.
I think I like Bard of Darkness more. I think it is definitely has a little bit more to it aside from just the humor. Although, I don't want to discount Bard versus Australia is very funny. Although at this point, I think we're splitting hairs. All these episodes, these are the classic years of The Simpsons for a reason. So okay, number 13. See, we even have it higher than you, Holly. For now,
good stuff.
Although, by the time we get to season 8, it will not be that high.
There is some good stuff coming.
I know. So, number 13, Bart vs. Australia, right above Rosebud, right below Bar of Darkness. Our number one episode is Cape Fear. And our last episode right now is Homer's Odyssey at 112. It will be supplanted at some point. Holly, what is your final, what's your last episode?
I have a bit of a different ranking system, so I only record ones that I would give a 5, and I'm ranking them out of 5 as I go along, and then giving the season a total. Oh yeah, I'm going crazy.
Wow. All right. Okay. Yeah. Homer's Odyssey, it's not a 5.
No.
You can find this list on our website. It's simply thesimpsonsshow.com. This list, links to all of our social media, new episodes, downloadable, and streaming, links to our Patreon, which we obviously appreciate any support we get. We appreciate any support we get from you there.
And I'll say the extra content is excellent.
I thank you very much, Holly. I really do appreciate that. And this list is broken down by season in the Treehouse of Horror segments as well. When we get there once a year, we add a couple of those. Oh, Matt, what is our next episode?
Ooh, let me check my special list, a.k.a. Wikipedia. Our next episode is Homer versus Patty and Selma, another classic.
Ooh, excellent.
Homer versus Patty and Selma. I remember this episode being later. Like, it feels much, it feels like a season, like, 7 to me. Or I don't know.
Well, it's only one season later.
I know, but it doesn't feel like it's, I guess it is probably right. Like, certain episodes, I just feel like they're later, and some episodes, I feel like they're earlier than they are. But, yeah, we'll talk about that next week. Look forward to that. Let's see. Before we go, you can find me on Twitter at MixmasterCereal. That's MixmasterCereal. Please check out my comic book podcast, Handsome Boys Comics Hour, handsomeboyscomicshour.com, on iTunes, etc. Holly, you have anything you'd like to plug? Anything you'd like people to check out?
Personally, I have no social media presence, but my brother also has a really awesome podcast. I know he's plugged it on the show before when he guested, but his podcast is an episodic review of Power Rangers called Legacy of Power. It's one of my other few podcasts that I listen to weekly, so I definitely recommend checking that one out.
Yeah, there you go, guys. Matt does not participate in social media unless you're a certain level of Patreon backer. You will not find him.
That is correct. However, I have decided that I will be devoting my life to looking for gravitational waves. So if you want to communicate with me, all you will need to do is go into space and find a couple of black holes to merge together. Some nearby stars to put material into those black holes will also be very useful. So, you know, if you need me, you can either do that or find me at the LIGO detector, which I believe is in Louisiana.
I'm sorry. I think I went into a fugue state. I'm not sure what happened there. Every time I'm expecting something and that never happens. With that, I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And you keep watching the Simpsons.
That is accurate.
Shh.